Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into Pittsburgh sports right now who have no recollection of seeing the Pirates in the playoffs, so we're back to that.
My brother's got four sons. Only his oldest son would even be old enough to have remembered any of those games. The other three, I mean, I'm trying to think, my nephews, the like one of them's in eighth grade, I think.
Yeah.
He was like one when that game happened.
That's what I mean.
He was maybe one and a half.
So we're getting back to that where we have kids that are old enough to maybe shave who don't remember
almost
13,
drive,
14,
kids,
and 15.
There are kids who are old enough to drive cars who have no real recollection.
Yeah, good point. Good line. So, and I don't, hey, for people like Donnie, if that's all you know, I get why those teams are put on a pedestal because that's the best you've ever seen. But I do right now, at this very moment, I do tend to ascribe to the Paul Skeens point of view on this. We venerate the 2013 team. We also have very fond things to say about the two teams that lost the wild card games the next 2 years. You know, like, oh, we make excuses for them if they had a best of three series or something like that. They would have won more games. They got screwed by the system. I mean, we say those things.
Second most wins in baseball in 2015. Right. They deserve better, but blah, blah, blah.
I am... persuaded somewhat by the Skeens rhetoric. I do think it is pretty pathetic how much we venerate those teams because they didn't do anything.
Haven't won a playoff series since 1979.
Right. And I mean, compared to what we saw from 1993 to 2012, it was really freaking good. And compared to what we've seen from 2016 to now, it was really good. But in the grand scheme of things, like, if that's your high watermark, man, that's really crappy. You know, like, there's going to be a handful, there's going to be a few teams that lose tonight, this afternoon, tomorrow in this divisional round, and that'll be just as good as the 13 Pirates did. And guess what? That's not saying much, man.
Well, technically, I mean, if there are teams that what? Won their wild card series, then win a division series.
Yeah, they will have done more than those teams.
More.
Yeah.
Really? Because you'll have had to win at least two games, something resembling a series. I don't know. I guess for me, it's you cling to what you've got.
I mean, do they feel like golden years or glory days for you?
No, definitely not glory days because they were bounced by like this time in October. There's a whole basically like a month of baseball left and they weren't part of it. They feel like a fever dream is what they feel like. Like this very faint reminder from the past of what it could be like. Fun. Even if people were mad that they didn't quote unquote go all in on any of those years with like a huge trade.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff baseball is a pretty electric atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody that broadly speaking, does not like baseball nearly as much as I did, in part because almost every season feels devoid of meaning here by like, I don't know, mid-July most years, if not, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
So it feels like a fever dream.
We got eight games. We got eight playoff games in 3 years. That's it.
That Cardinals series was electric. I was invested on every pitch. Like,
right.
I think everybody here was. And it's hard to have that investment anymore. And I guess whenever you bring up the 10-year thing, I wonder... Does the guy who owns the franchise like think back and have any of those like halcyon days thoughts and say, I want to try to figure out how to get it back here for real?
But Skeen's point was just getting back to that isn't good enough.
He's
right.
He's right. It is a loser mentality.
He's right, man.
It's a loser mentality. It is. We don't give the Steelers credit anymore, and we haven't for years.
Yeah.
For just making the playoffs and getting beat. We actually have used that as a blunt instrument against Mike Tomlin. Yeah, it's wonderful that you can drag 9-8 out of this roster and then you go play a real team and get humiliated. He's right. Paul Skeens is right. The guy won a College World Series. He knows what it's like to be at the top of the mountain.
Oh, he's an ultimate winner.
At the level right below this.
Right.
He knows what it's like to win big, to pitch in games that matter. And it is absolutely big loser energy. And it's not the fan. Don't get this twisted. When I hear him say that, I interpret that as we as a franchise need to be way better. I don't call fans losers for getting excited about the few meaningful games they've gotten to watch in the postseason.
Me neither.
At all. But it is it's more of a sad commentary on how awful it's been since 2015 that we have Johnny Cueto dropping the ball as the one memory you keep coming back to.
And again, it was a one-game playoff that didn't really lead to much more. They lost the next series. You know, I sit here and say
stuff like, wow, Pedro Alvarez was really good in that St. Louis
We were talking
series.
About Aaron Judge's home run off the air last night. And, you said, it's not Bucky Dent. Exactly. The Bucky Dent home run got them into the playoffs. Then they went all the way. Mm-hmm. The Cueto moment happened. And then, poof, you were out in the next round. Johnny Cueto, who we, look at as a guy that's in the middle of some, kind of embarrassing moment in baseball.
Won a World Series 2 years
exactly,
later.
With the Royals.
And was a stud.
Yes!
They made the kind of move to go get him when he had, because the funny thing about that 2013 thing is, and you know this is true, he was banged up coming into that game. He was not Johnny Cueto.
Yeah.
Real Johnny Cueto
showed up. They didn't
trust
Matt Latos to start that game.
And they shouldn't have, because the Pirates beat him up usually.
Remember him, Don? Matt Latos?
Remember Dallas Latos, his lovely wife?
He kind of gave some Joe Dirt vibes without the long hair. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Gave out
some ripe blonde hair.
Let
big
me ask
dude.
You boys a question about Matt Latos right now. What is the percentage chance he has a Zin in?
Yeah, he gave me Jean Short vibes,
1 million?
That guy.
1 million. Didn't he have a cat named Cat Latos?
I like that. I didn't know
and
that
also,
about
it was
I
Matt,
cats,
M-A-T. It was yes, two T's.
That's why the Cat Latos thing was funny.
Cat
his,
Latos
his
is
wife,
pretty funny.
His wife had some Anna Benson vibes, if memory
Donnie,
serves.
Donnie, how do you look back on those teams? Do you agree that it is kind of pathetic that that's what we cling to, and it really wasn't that great?
No, I do. Those teams for people my age, unfortunately, that's the high watermark that we have to work with. So, those teams we do remember like gods in a way. Russell Martin will always be remembered so well for what he did.
AJ Burnett comes back here to a King's welcome. We roll up the red carpet for the guy, and that's fine. He also won a World Series with the team that we say, man, the Yankees, he really... That was a messy situation. That was really screwed up. He won a World Series there.
Yeah, I can also acknowledge that it is sad that that is the one moment we cling to. I think I tweeted it last week when it was the anniversary of the Martin home run. That is the monumental moment that a whole generation of Pirates fans still clings to, including myself, because that's all we have.
And it was a really cool night, but a week later you were out. You were done.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even get to a CS.
You had the religious revival vibes of 2013, right? That sea of black, which was probably still one of the craziest environments ever because it's 20 years. Then all the next 2 years really were, seriously, where you weren't good enough to win the division and you got buzzsawed
That's what
by
I was gonna
a pitcher
say.
Twice. The next 2 years aren't even really a great
Chris,
job. You failed miserably in the playoffs.
None of those three... You can't hang a banner for anything that happened in those 3 years. You didn't win a division. You didn't win a pennant. You won a lot of games. It was memorable.
But it's all you got.
Exactly.
And that the reason people cling to it is because there's nothing else to cling to. If you got a piece of driftwood in the middle of the ocean, you're going to call that a boat and hold on to it. And that, it feels like ever since this is an adrift franchise. And I just don't get the sense... that within the franchise, there is enough of a desire, like I know there is with the fans, to try to recapture those days and then
look,
some.
Obviously, 92 is, I'm not going to cause people to have, involuntary reactions to reliving that. But still, at least in 91 and 92,
NLCS.
You won the NL East. You're a game away twice of going to the World Series.
That's different.
Way different.
You were the best team when only the two best teams got to go and play off. you were one of the two best in your...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
League.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the big time AFC North matchup between the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So 1 o'clock, we'll get Steelers Browns, your play by play team for that. Ian Eagle, JJ Watt.
You think JJ, okay.
They should have black and gold ties. They do every Steelers game for CBS.
Percentage chance JJ Watt tries to sneak in some comment about how he thinks TJ's better than Myles Garrett or why TJ.
Oh, I don't think he'll sneak it in. I think he'll be very overt about it. I also think at some point he will eat a Saris chocolate-covered pretzel during the broadcast.
Like on camera?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I know he's in the tank for those and loves them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a free pop they wouldn't want to be giving
away. We'll
also
get at 425, Bengals and Packers, giddy up. Two touchdown spread, Joe Flacco trying to beat the Packers for the second time this year.
I'm told that he wasn't going to start, though.
By me, and I was wrong about that, and I apologize.
That one blew up in record time.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, Matt Clement, joins us right now. Matt, in a couple hours, former Bucco hurlers. Jameson Taillon versus Quinn Priester, Brewers, Cubs, Milwaukee trying to get to an NLCS. Both of these guys were Buccos. Which one do you think is more frustrating? The fact that they traded Jameson Taillon for prospects who never panned out, or they just gave up on a first-round pick in Priester and got almost nothing back for him?
Terribly ironic situation for Pirate fans today, right? More frustrating, the Taillon, obviously. We'll start with Taillon. I think that's frustrating that you traded away a guy who's put up some really good numbers, like the value gave up continued to be after he left the Pirates. A couple injuries in there, but nothing that killed his seasons. And, you know, to see him be that kind of a person, that's the kind of we're talking about. It really makes me think a lot about Keller right now, honestly, because it's like you have this trade you're going to make. You're trading Taillon. You got to get it right. And unfortunately, the Pirates really didn't get that right. And I think that to some degree, when you start talking about these trades, and since I've been doing this with you guys, I've been thinking about it more. You know, there is scouting involved, but I think the biggest thing is the more you're trading, the less luck becomes involved in it too. Like, if you're only trading one guy, like you're just trading Keller that you're going to get value for, you got to be a little bit lucky at the same time as far as value, as far as getting it right. Priester to me is a totally different situation. You know, he wasn't good enough that Boston didn't give up on him really quick afterwards. And I think when I think about the Priester part of this deal, I think more less about the Pirates giving up on something and more about Milwaukee is doing something right. Because, like, I'll be honest with you, transparent with you, I didn't think Quinn Priester, watching him with the Pirates, just his inability to strike people out was going to do what he's doing. Mm-hmm. At the same time, on the other hand, I'm so happy to see somebody like that looked like he was in trouble as a former first rounder do what he did this year. But what's Milwaukee doing that's getting this right?
Right.
I think is the bigger issue than the Pirates giving up on this person.
Well, that frustrates me too, because Milwaukee might be the favorite. I didn't even look. They might be the betting favorite other than the Dodgers to win the whole thing, Matt. So they're doing a lot of things right. The problem I have with the Priester situation specifically is I remember when he first came up, one of the problems being he was a guy who was like hitting 97 as a prospect, and then he came to the Pirates and his velocity was down. And I haven't, to be very clear, checked what his velocity numbers are with Milwaukee, but clearly his stuff plays better and is livelier. And it just was one in a series, it felt like, of players who were pitchers that the Pirates drafted, and then for some reason they didn't look like the guy that they drafted. Like, the actual measurable stuff wasn't as good, and that absolutely frustrates me.
And honestly, like, you know, I compared Taillon to Keller. You can almost compare Priester to Glasnow. You know, mm-hmm. it's a very similar situation. He goes the other place, and, like, you know, obviously the Boston gives you a little bit of a time frame where it didn't work or didn't turn into what he's turned into. But, like, right away when they left, they became really good. And sometimes a change of scenery does somebody wonders, especially if somebody comes through a system. And again, one of the tougher things about being a part of a major league team that has lost for so long, it's harder for these guys to grasp hold and go when they get there. Especially, you know, they grind through the minor leagues, no matter if they're the first rounder, 12th rounder, whatever the case may be.
Yep.
They grind through there, they get there. Your room for error as that young prospect is a lot smaller. Again, it just goes to the greatness of Paul Skenes that he's done what he's done. But even Paul Skenes hasn't been bulletproof in this situation. He's 10-10. Mm-hmm. He's won the Cy Young at 10-10. So he hasn't even been bulletproof. It just shows how great he is.
Priester 13-3 this year, 24 starts with the Brewers, 3.32 ERA. From one pitcher to another, Matt, what have you seen from him that's turned him into this guy that is one of the most reliable, most efficient, most successful pitchers in all of baseball?
It's just his confidence. Like you know, I looked at his stats. He's still under a strikeout an inning. And confidence just is a gigantic thing. And that's an easy, you know, ordinary vanilla reason I'm giving you. But, you know, you get somebody that believes in you, you get off to a good start like he did, and I feel like most of the year, most of the MLB that really followed baseball is sitting there waiting for, okay, he's going to implode at some point. This isn't going to work at some point. They're getting some more video on him. At some point, it's not going to work. And give him his, I mean, wow, just give him his due. He's throwing strikes. He's getting ahead. But the biggest thing he's doing is he's on a team that really believes, and sometimes that's all it takes for a pitcher.
Matt, I'm looking at some of just the basics. He's also I think if I were going to boil it down to one thing, whatever they've got him doing, he's commanding the ball better. Home run percentage, way down. Strikeout percentage, up. Walk percentage, down. Hard hit percentage, way down with the Brewers from what it was like early in his Pirates career. Like, he just does not give people as many good swings at the baseball, and as such does not give up as many hard hit baseballs that go over the fence or going into gaps, and he is striking out more. So something they did in Milwaukee, and I don't discount what you said about confidence, has carried over, and the guy is clearly, with whatever stuff he has, is throwing it where he wants to throw it with the Brewers, and I think that's all the difference.
Absolutely. And again, I'll go back to where I started with it. Like, got to give something. I guess the bigger thing is what is Milwaukee doing?
Well, and also, how can the Pirates copy what Milwaukee is doing? That's I say that as sort of a joking tone, but not really, Matt.
No, and honestly, like, they're you know, if I'm in charge of the Pirates, you know, the organizations I'm looking at are the Milwaukee.
Hire some of their guys.
You know, exactly. it's a philosophy of what those and it's not just Milwaukee. I mean, these the Rays were in the playoff, were in the World Series just a little bit ago, and the Twins are in the playoffs a lot of years. The Guardians are in the playoffs. There's other teams in the Pirates situation. I think that's the we ended last week on that question about them in the playoffs. But like, there's other teams in this situation that are being successful. What can the Pirates gain from them, or study from them, or figure out to make it work?
Matt, let's go to Andrew McCutchen here, because since we last talked, Jason Mackey, who's covered the Pirates for a very long time, came on our airwaves and said, "I think this reunion is over. I think this second tour of duty with the Pirates for Andrew McCutchen, I think this is it for him here." He didn't say Andrew McCutchen's going to retire. He just said he thinks Andrew McCutchen's playing days with the Pirates are done again. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, is it surprising? No. It's a team that's trying to figure their way out. And does McCutchen fit into what they're trying to do? I can't say he doesn't. I think that, like, it's an organizational philosophy on what they want to do with them. And it's probably a really tough one right now. They need as many bodies that they think can get them over the hump and make them into a playoff team. And to have a guy that's kind of declining at the end of his career is his sage wisdom and professionalism enough of a big thing for some of the young kids to make up for, you know, him being at the end of his career? And to me, it is. Like, honestly, like, it is. And I look at Andrew McCutchen, and like he's a guy that, like, you watch his career, and it's not just the numbers and how he plays. It's the way he's carried himself and everything else. So I want my young players coming up and having somebody like him that doing the right way, never in trouble with the media, never in trouble with what he's got going on in his life. You know, somebody that every Pirate fan can honorably buy his jersey and put it on their kids when he was a star or when he was not a star. So to me, it outweighs that. But I understand the other end of it too at this point, you know, as far as money and everything else that goes with it.
Matt Clement, 93.7 The Fan, MLB analyst, 5:05 today. Quinn Priester versus Jameson Taillon. If you want to do more self-loathing as a Pirates fan, tune that game on at 5 o'clock. Keep us on, but also watch that with the volume off. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
There you go. Which one frustrates you more, Taillon or Priester?
Priester. Not just recency bias, but, I mean, Taillon, it's hard to, like, kill them for it because the guy just got hurt a lot. Priester, they just, I would say, more threw their hands up when they traded him and said, we can't figure out what to do with this guy. And looky here, it takes one extra stop. It's kind of like Jose Bautista in that regard, where he bounced around to at least, I think, the Phillies and somebody else maybe before the Blue Jays figured out the hitch in his swing. But he bounces to Boston.
Well, he went from the Pirates right to the Blue Jays, Chris.
I could have swore somebody else
he got
had
traded
a, had
for Robinson Diaz straight
was
up.
It, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm.
His last stop with the Pirates, he went Pirates to Blue Jays.
Did he have other teams that
yes.
hadn't known? Okay, then
he
it
had.
Was beforehand. Other
yep.
teams didn't realize that there was a hitch there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they figured it out. In this case, it's Priester goes to Boston, I think pitched, what, like 5 innings for
yeah.
them? Then they trade him. So, yeah, Boston maybe didn't figure him out. You get him to the other team in your division that's in an even smaller market, and they just, like, hit him with the pixie dust.
That's why.
And now he's a stalwart.
I'm more critical of the Taillon trade, because Priester didn't go. There was a stop in between with a good organization, and they got it wrong too. The Pirates traded Jameson Taillon when he was still a good upper echelon starting pitcher in his 20s for Michael Escoto, Rowanzi Contreras, Cannon Smith and Jigba, and Miguel Yajure. I'm pretty sure they're all out of Major League Baseball right now. All of them. Contreras was a long reliever. That's what he did. Cannon Smith and Jig was famous for what his brother does on a football field. That's the package you got back. I mean, that's just horrible on Charrington's part. See, the Brewers make a trade like that, they'd get 3 guys in the deal that would all be in their lineup right now in this playoff game.
I mean, still,
that's the difference.
I understand that it's bad return, but it's also the other part of the Ben Charrington experience, horrible development.
Yep. Can't evaluate the right
on the
guys.
Priester, well, no, on the Priester
that
side
too.
Of it even. It's just your people couldn't fix
but
the guy.
But they've done so well with pitchers, though.
I do well with the first round pick.
I'm but not it wasn't his first round pick. That's what he's going to say.
I don't give a rat's ass. Oh, it's not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My guy.
Good time for our weekly chat with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. He's been busy over the last 24 hours with all the AFC North news that's come in with trades. Brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. The Steelers atop the division, watching the rest of the division burn. Joe Flacco's changing Ohio zip codes. A rare in-division trade between the Browns and Bengals, Mike. Not only is he going to Cincinnati, but he's now going to start against the Packers on Sunday. He's never played in this offensive system before. He has no familiarity with the coaching staff there. And that team is so desperate, they believe a 40-year-old who is going to play behind one of the worst offensive lines in football is the right guy and gives them the best chance to win. What do you know about this situation? Explain it to me, Mike.
Well, the offensive system is pretty simple. One play, throw it this way to Jamar Chase. Next play, throw it that way to T. Higgins, and just lather, rinse, repeat all game long. And that was their approach with Jake Browning. The problem is Jake Browning wasn't completing enough the passes, and it was exposing how this team is built solely around the passing game. They don't have a running game. Their defense has been undermined by all the money they've spent on quarterback and receiver. So they just needed somebody better than Jake Browning. And 2 years ago, Jake Browning was 4-3 in seven games as a starter. He had decent numbers. This year, it just wasn't happening, and they were stubborn until they weren't. And I think this was a move of desperation because you're about ready to throw in the towel on the season if you keep banging your head against the wall with Jake Browning. So I'm surprised they didn't call the Giants to see if they could get Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson. My understanding is that didn't happen. They end up getting Joe Flacco for a fifth-round pick, and they got a sixth-round pick back, so it's not much of an investment. It's not much of a financial investment either. We know the Bengals like that. And it's just let's roll the dice and see what happens. And, you know, Flacco's basically in the – in the NFC North, because he's going to see the Packers for the second time in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike, you took my next question, my follow-up about whether they called the Giants or not right off the table. I mean, you talk to people around the league, do they think there's still something left with Flacco and that throwing to maybe the best pure receiver in the league and one of the best number twos in the league, he can actually find it again like he caught lightning in a bottle with the Browns a couple years ago?
Well, he started the first four games of the year. Now, the problem is he was clearly the weakness in the Cleveland offense. Statistically, he was the bottom the last time I checked of all qualifying starting quarterbacks with passer rating. And he's thrown six interceptions in four games. Two interceptions, though, twice, that's still one fewer than we saw from Jake Browning on Sunday. So if he only throws two, it's an improvement. I think that he's better. You know, I was saying you have a backup who's not good enough to be a starter. And if there are starters available who had been benched, those are the guys that you want to target. So the guy's a starter. He won one of the starting jobs. I don't know if it's going to make the Bengals any better. I'll be stunned if they go into Green Bay and beat the Packers. They just needed to do something, I think, to hold this team together and maybe to take some of the heat off of Zach Taylor, because, you know, I think the biggest concern for him isn't that ownership wakes up and says we need a different coach. It's Joe Burrow,
right,
watching the games, recovering from that serious toe injury, recognizing that they don't have anything beyond me, and they haven't done anything to enhance the team beside me and the two guys that I throw to the most often. Maybe I need a new head coach if I'm ever going to get to where I want to go. And, you know, Burrow, I feel like it's inevitable, and I don't want to predict this, but if things ever go a certain way for him, he becomes the next Carson Palmer, and he just refuses to play for the Bengals, and then they're stuck.
Mike, why would the Browns do this? I mean, I don't think Joe Flacco is going to turn that team around, but why would you give, potentially, a division rival some help, get rid of a veteran quarterback to help mentor your young quarterbacks, and all you get out of it is a swap of fifth and sixth round picks?
Because you got something for a guy that otherwise was going to be on your roster. And if you did cut him, you still owe his salary for the rest of the year. It becomes guaranteed as of week one for anybody with four or more years of service. So they got something. And we know how the Browns are. It's all about analytics. It's all about stockpiling draft picks. They don't care who they trade a guy to. They had an opportunity to turn something into value, and it didn't hurt them because Joe Flacco is not going to play. Before they would go back to him, they'd go to Shedeur Sanders. For now, it's Dylan Gabriel. And hell, who knows? Deshaun Watson may be back at some point.
Oh, God.
So I just think it was a no-lose proposition for the Browns. And really, they've concluded Joe Flacco isn't good enough. So if the Bengals want him, take him.
Yeah,
please.
Good point.
Here,
fair point.
You're going to give us a draft pick for him? You know, it's better than us having to give a draft pick to you to get him off the roster.
Mike, do you put it in stone that Shedeur Sanders will be QB2 this weekend, or do you think Bailey Zappe still has a chance to sneak in there late in the week?
They put out an updated depth chart yesterday after the trade, and it showed Shedeur Sanders at number two. Well, he's the only other one on the roster. Bailey Zappe's on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. And
yep,
when Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the team, declined to name who the number two quarterback is today, yeah, there's a chance they activate Zappe to the active roster this weekend, and he becomes the number two. Or who knows what else may happen? They may make some other move. But I don't think they believe that Sanders is ready to be one play away from playing. So I think the fact that Stefanski wouldn't say it today,
yep,
tells me that he's leaning toward it being Zappe. And I don't think they're going to add some other quarterback. I just think it's going to be Zappe because Zappe's played a lot more than Sanders. And if there's an injury during the game, he's the guy you'd want to go in.
Mike, the Ravens, struggles well chronicled here. I've said that Zach Gore's starting to remind me of Matt Canada there, where they have a defensive coordinator problem. They don't seem to want to address it. They tried last year with Dean Pease. They had him hold his hand. Pease leaves. Now you've got a bad defensive coordinator again. Problem didn't rectify itself. Injuries haven't helped. I get that part. How about the trade they made yesterday? I mean, they took a guy off their roster who had 10 sacks last year, young player in his 20s, traded him to the other Harbaugh in L.A. I mean, that was a surprising move that you would take a guy like that. You can't get to the quarterback right now. Why would you trade one of your better pass rushers?
They're desperate for help on the back end of the defense. That's it, plain and simple. And Oweh's in his fifth-year option. If you've already decided you're not going to keep him, go ahead and move him now because they get a backup safety who probably steps in to start. And they also added C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the practice squad. That's a guy that's been fired by multiple teams this year as a practical matter. So it just shows you how desperate they are with the injuries in the secondary. And Mike Green, the guy from Marshall, who was a second-round pick this year for the Ravens, he's playing well enough that you could make the argument, hey, if this guy's not going to be here next year, Oweh, let's go ahead and make the move now and try to get some help just to hold this thing together. It is amazing when you look at the Bengals and the Ravens. We're 5 weeks, as of tomorrow, away from the start of the regular season. How quickly it's changed and how two high-level Super Bowl window contenders have completely fallen off. And for the Bengals, it's about Burrow. For the Ravens, it's just this accumulation, this critical mass of injuries, and also just their own ineffectiveness. And It's amazing. The Ravens are still a betting favorite as yesterday to win the division, which makes no sense to me. But it really is amazing how it can happen like that. And here the Steelers are almost by default in first place in the AFC North.
Do you think if the Ravens don't play Jackson this weekend, and it seems like it's trending towards that again and giving him 3 weeks off, Mike, and they lose to the Rams, Steelers beat the Browns, do you think eventually after that the division odds would flip?
They have to.
Because it feels like the Ravens' plan here, Mike, and I wonder if you agree with me, is give Jackson 3 weeks off. We know our defense is kind of screwed. Hope he's fully healthy, and then try to go 10-1 down the stretch after a 1-5 start. That actually seems like their plan.
Well, I think that people who gamble need to come to terms with the fact that the Ravens aren't what we thought they were going to be. And I don't know this. All I know is how awkward it was the last time Lamar Jackson was trying to get a new contract. And even though he's got two more seasons after this one, for which he signed with the Ravens, there was talk before the season about possible negotiations.
Yep.
Jackson don't want to talk about it. He represents himself with the help of his mother. The Ravens just at least mentioned the door's open. I think Jackson looks at some of these other quarterback deals and wonders, where do I fit in this? Where's my contract that fixes the disparity, as 60 is now the magic number in a roundabout way for quarterbacks? And I say that because the last time he was in that mode, anytime he'd have an injury, and he had a couple of late season injuries, we didn't see him for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a business decision where, look, if you're not going to take care of me, I'm not going to go out there and put myself at risk unless and until I'm fully and completely 100%. So I think that subtext is relevant here, and it would speak to Jackson being out longer than maybe anyone would expect. And when you're talking about a hamstring for a guy who relies so much on mobility, anybody who's ever had a hamstring injury, and I had one 33 years ago, and it was hell to get rid of it, because every time you think you're healthy, you go out there and you run and you try to go full speed and it grabs you again. And so I could see Jackson staying out as long as he needs to, and then maybe even longer, because he's in this mode where he's trying to get paid and he deserves to get paid. And why am I going to put myself at risk if I have an injury and rush back and possibly make it worse?
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. That was all good news for the Steelers in the AFC North. Thank you, Mike.
Man, we got no questions about Jerry Jones accidentally going thumbs up. Like,
yep.
You know, that's a real medical condition. You think you're giving a thumbs up and you actually give the middle finger. They need to have a name for that. Other than senility.
I just think, Mike, we all know, let he who has not tried to give a thumbs up and accidentally flash the bird at somebody cast the first stone, right? I mean, it happens to all of us.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk again next week.
See you guys.
How about that Lamar bombshell?
I know, dude. I was not expecting that one.
How about that, Donnie? Thinks this could drag on because the guy's not happy with his contract.
I mean, I know
that would be massive.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it would be contract-related. I just thought yesterday, and I know Chris was thinking along the same lines when they made that trade, like, does it tell them that he's a little bit more hurt than they're letting on and they're trying to sell off?
Although like, the fact that they got a player back makes it seem like, yeah, they're trying to rob one part of the roster to pay another. But
I mean, that happened to them a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
What was it, 2021? He had the injury. They were 8-3. They were first place in, I think, the entire AFC or AFC North. And he said, screw it, I'm not going to rush back. They went 0-6 without him.
I mean, every game Cooper Rush plays is more evidence as to why they probably need to give him what he wants. Can you imagine if he just pulls the usual suspects? His hamstring's not good. They actually do a new deal. They rip it up in season, and then suddenly he's just moving like Kevin Spacey right at the end there, just back to full speed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.